Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, I'm Rita Lane, Rita Hauk Lane, and I'm your host for the next hour as we try to grow deeper in our intimate and loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Welcome to the show. I wanted to start by just telling you that even though the weather is pretty awful today and we had to reschedule our golf outing, that's our fundraiser, it's going to be the 27th, I think, the last Monday of the month, and because it's raining, cats and dogs here, and it's really been challenging weather-wise the last couple of days, and will continue at least through tonight, as far as I've heard. But I love this time of year. I love the fall. I grew up where it was warm all year round, basically, and so I wanted four seasons, so I came here, and I always had spring or summer in the other where I used to live, but now I have fall and winter, and even after all these years, it thrills me beyond all measure to have four seasons, and I do love winter. I love snow, etc. I enjoy driving in it. I'm a little bit different than most people, but I'm just a happy person right now because of the fall season is finally here. And I'm also very happy because I woke up this morning hearing that the Israel hostages, the people of Israel that were taken hostage 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, were released. Praise God for that. I can't imagine how happy they and their families are. It's all also laced with a sadness, of course, because quite a few people died in after they were taken hostage, and so they won't be coming home in the same way as those who were released were. So I thank President Trump. I thank everyone who worked behind the scenes and in our nation and in those nations to have them released. And I'm hoping and praying that there will be some form of peace that will happen in that area. I don't think it's ever going to be super peaceful there. There's a lot of reasons for that. But basically, we all hope for peace and we pray for peace. And with God, all things are possible, right? So we have to have faith in that. Okay. Anyway, I'd like to start with an opening prayer. And I'm going, first of all, let me tell you, the traffic was terrible coming here. I don't know what was going on, but I barely made it here on time. And we lost power at my house about 6 hours ago. And so therefore, I couldn't prepare for tonight quite the same way that I normally do. In fact, I had to bring my laptop with me, and I'm going to have to be reading a lot of things, so please bear with me. I'll try to do my best. And so our opening prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is, Almighty Father, source of everlasting light, send forth your truth into our hearts and pour over us the brightness of your light. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. That comes from the Catholic prayer book called Christian Prayer. I think it was Tuesday a week ago, and I just loved it because when I was here 2 weeks ago, I had spoken to you about being the light of the world and how Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness, and all of that. I spoke pretty extensively on that, and I I sensed that the Lord didn't want me to completely leave that, and I'll tell you why later. But basically, I'd like to revisit that very briefly. So if you heard it 2 weeks ago, then bear with me and stick with me, because there's more to the show than just that. And if you didn't hear me 2 weeks ago, you can go to our website inhissign.com and click on contents and podcasts and scroll down to 927, I think it was, and listen to it. Or you can go to inhissign, our Facebook, which some of you are watching right now, and scroll down till you see me in 927, I think it is, and watch it and listen, okay? Because it's important in this world today, where it seems like so much is dark and dreary, that there is light, and there is beauty, and there is hope, hope, hope. So please go back and take a look at it. Even if you saw it before, maybe you might want to look at it again or listen again. But anyway, I want to touch on light and darkness before we get going into the rest of it. So light. I'd like to begin with light. Light is mentioned all throughout the Bible scriptures, all throughout them, from the very beginning, creation, let there be light. And then there are numerous stories of light, numerous scriptures of light, all through sacred scripture, all the way through to through Revelation. And light is mentioned not just referring to light to be able to, you know, physical light like the sun shines or the lights in our homes or something like that. It also is a description of the Lord, of faith, and of us believers, you know, of truth and everything good. That is what light is in the Bible. It is physical light, but it is also spiritual, emotional, and sometimes even physical light. And so the Lord is light, and we as believers have been commissioned to be light as well. So anyway, let me explain a little bit of that to you. I'll read you a few scriptures. God's word is powerful. If you don't know it already from your own experience, let me tell you that his word in the Bible is so powerful that you really must get to know it, because it will change your own heart, change your life, and change how you deal with life, which will affect other people. It's remarkably powerful, and it's filled with the Holy Spirit. So in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I have come into the world to be its light. I have come into the world to be its light. And then in another passage, what came to be through Jesus was life. And this life was the light of the human race. You know, it's interesting because light is not, light is essential. I told you that last week. Johns Hopkins did a study on light and how essential it is in life. Without light, there is no life. Well, without the light of Christ, there's very, very little spiritual life. So we really need him. And he tells us that he's light, because when it's dark, you can't see where you're going. You can't see how to fix a problem in the dark. And I was at home. We lost power 6 hours ago or more. And you almost can't function in a home today without some kind of light. And so, you know, it's essential. It opens your heart. It opens your physical situation. Everything is dependent on life, light from Jesus. So Jesus himself went on to say, okay, he said, I am the life. I am the light. And then he said to his followers, which includes us, you are the light of the world. Because we are so, if we are living a true Christian life to the best of our ability by the grace of God, none of us is super holy, okay? But if we're doing the best that we can and sincerely wish to be a child of God in union with Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are the light of the world because he infuses us with his own light and makes us able to make a difference in the world, to bring good and beauty into the world and truth. So in another place it says in 1 Peter says this to it, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. There's a reason they mention that word a lot, especially in the New Testament. And again, Peter says, maintain good conduct among the Gentiles, or in other words, all those who are around you, so that if they speak of you as evildoers, they may observe your good works and glorify God. How many times have we heard over the last 8 or 10 years that Christians are evil? They're horrible. They're bigots. They're awful. How many times have we heard that those lies? Because they are lies. Obviously, there are some Christians or people who pretend to be Christians who are not all that they should be. Right? None of us is. But there's some that are really off base. But there are many other people in the world that are also off base who are not so nice and nasty. But the Christians that I know work very hard to be like Jesus, to love their neighbors, to be charitable, to share, to be kind in traffic, etc., etc. And so what Peter is saying here, maintain good conduct when you're among people who maybe don't believe like you do, or doubt Jesus, or flat out hate Christians. So because if they speak of you as evildoers, especially if they're speaking of you as evildoers, we Christians as evildoers, well, you hear it a lot. And it's very sad because that's a lie of the evil one. It says, they may observe your good works and glorify God. So what happens is the lies are told that we're awful and horrible, but if they see us living an authentic Christian life in union with Jesus Christ and our brothers and sisters in church, they will see the good that Jesus brings to us and they will want it. They'll know it's authentic, it's real, and the lies are false. So then we go into Romans, and St. Paul says, do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. It reminds me of Dr. Martin Luther King, who said, hatred can only be, I don't remember the exact quote, but hatred can only be destroyed with love. And it's right. That's very biblical. So St. Paul says, do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Do not give in to the world's way of sowing hatred and division and canceling and wokeness and all that sort of thing. But conquer within ourselves, and the culture with good. And Jesus says in Matthew 5, your light must shine before others. There's no hope for the world if we aren't living authentic, if we aren't being who Jesus Christ needs us to be and wants us to be. That's when we're the happiest anyway, not by doing our own thing, regardless of whether it's something that God approves of or not. So I would like to, before I move on, I'd like to share with you a prayer that St. Mother Teresa's sisters pray every day. And I wanted to share it a couple of weeks ago when I was here, but I ran out of time. So I'm going to pray it here. And if you would, just kind of pray along with me in your heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and love. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that all our lives may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our souls. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Stay with us, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe it was St. John Newman. Might have been the one who wrote that prayer. I don't remember exactly, but Mother Teresa's sisters pray it every single day, and I use it as part of my own prayer life. I'm a lay missionary of charity. I work with the sisters, and I've been doing things with them for 25 years minus one because of the COVID year. They were not letting volunteers be around. They were doing all the work themselves because they didn't want to put anyone at risk. So anyway, I'd like to move on now to darkness. In the last show, I also shared that darkness is throughout the Bible as well. It's a description many times, not only of the lack of physical light, but also a description of sinfulness, of spiritual blindness, of hard-heartedness. It's a description of life without God, etc., etc. It's all that is dark and confusing, and which is what life is without God. We find ways, because we're created in the image and likeness of God, we find ways to build some light and beauty into our lives, even without him. But the deep and super powerful light can only come from God. And a lot of people today, even some Christians, are living with a certain amount of spiritual blindness. When you completely reject the Lord and you think it's all a fallacy and everything, well, the evil one really has fooled you. And in some ways, it's not even your fault, because there's a lot of lies in our culture today that make it very appealing not to believe in God. But it's all a lie. And with him, all things are possible. All things can be made beautiful. Even the suffering that we go through, he can use that for good and bring good out of it. But without him, the evil one is more in control. And he loves when we reject God. His primary purpose, as a matter of fact, is to separate us from God. And his greatest lie that he tells is that, and that he tries to convince people of, is that he does not exist. The devil is alive and well on planet Earth, and all you have to do is look around and you will see him. He's not even hidden half of the time anymore. But no fear, no fear, no hopelessness. He is not in control, no matter how much he tries to convince us that he is. So anyway, I shared that little bit with you because I needed to set that light and darkness as a lead in to the show today. And the show today is going to be like a little introduction on spiritual warfare. I recently started leading a study at my parish about spiritual warfare using Dan Burke's excellent book by the name of Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits. And before I get into it's an introduction. The whole book is an introduction to spiritual warfare. And so it doesn't go deep into things. And what it focuses on is, you know, when you study it, it's focusing on you, yourself. How the events of your life and the way life is going for us at this time, how the evil one can prey on you. All you have to do is become aware of how he works to be able to free yourself with the help of God from his tactics that cause so much pain in our lives personally and in the lives of the people that we love. So, basically, let me tell you a little bit about the devil. I do not do this to glorify him by any means. We have to know who he is in order to deal with him in a constructive way by the power of God that has already been given to us as baptized believers. So anyway, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. You can search on the web for the details. There was a war in heaven. There were good angels and really good angels and some other angels who decided that they were going to rebel, that they did not want to serve God in the way that he wanted them to serve. So there was a battle in heaven between the angels. And what happened was the bad angels, rebellious angels, did not win. And they were defeated. They were thrown out of heaven and came down to earth. And they've been here doing their nasty stuff ever since. They are different from us in many ways, and I'll talk about that next week. But they cannot repent because they were made differently than we are. Their rebellion is eternal. So when they want to bring as many of us with them into eternal disaster or hell, if you want to call it, as they can. So they work full time. But again, they lost the battle. And when we begin to understand who we are as God's faithful children and the power that he has given to us through the Holy Spirit, we can make a huge difference in the world. And we can be healed ourselves, and the things that torment us and upset us all the time can be actually be healed. So, but again, I just want to remind you that the primary goal of the devil and the demons is to separate us from God. Through sin, through indifference, whatever it takes to draw us away from God, that is their goal. And the further away from God we get, the easier it is for them to do. You know, so anyway, and they always want to divide us, divide our relationships, divide our families, divide our friendships, divide our nation. You know, his job is to divide and conquer. And he, most people don't even understand the most basics about what he can do to us and how to stop him. Okay. So anyway, I know that I'm supposed to be talking to you about this. And if you could just bear with me, because I'm a little disheveled from not being able to do things the way I normally do. But I'm going to be talking after the break about the spiritual warfare, like an intro, a little more information about the introduction to spiritual warfare, about Dan Burke and his book and his testimony, and the God's ways versus the evil one's ways. So please, please, when I after the break, please stay with me. Come back and be with me so that we can learn together. Because it's a 6-week program that I'm doing at my parish, and the first we've done 2 sessions so far. So I'm going to talk to you about the intro this time, and then next week I'll talk to you about session 2, and then we'll keep on going through session 6. Okay. So anyway, I got to run to take a break. I'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Rita Helkling. I'm your host for the next half hour. The past half hour, we were talking about light and darkness, how Jesus is the light of the world, and we as followers of his have been commissioned by him to be light in the world as well, and how darkness tries to overcome the light, but it cannot and will not overcome the light. And the darkness in scripture is usually about sinfulness and evil doing, and not just physical darkness. And the light of the world is Jesus Christ, and his way, his truth, his life, so, and physical light. So anyway, I wanted to, and then we moved into spiritual warfare, a little bit of an idea about how the evil one, who he is, you know, not enough. That's what we're going to do now. But some of you may not be aware of it, but we are at war. It's not my words, but words from God himself in the Holy Bible scriptures. It's not my words. We are at war. Don't turn it off because you don't like the word war. You got to know what we're talking, what we're dealing with here. Please, I beg of you, please listen carefully. There are many scriptures in the Bible about spiritual warfare. Many. And I'm just going to share a couple of them with you here. In the book of Revelations in chapter 12, this talks about what, you know, I said earlier, but this is from scripture itself. But it goes on to explain some other things. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael the archangel and his angels battled against the dragon, the devil. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they did not prevail, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Then it goes on to say, the huge dragon, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, was thrown down to earth, and its angels were thrown down with it. And then, this is key for you and for me. This is from the 12th chapter of Revelation. When the dragon saw that it had been thrown down to the earth, it pursued the woman. He's referring, the scripture refers to Mary, the mother of Jesus. The evil one pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Then the dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. I wonder who that is. He became angry and went off to wage war against the rest of Our Lady's offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. Right there it is. Okay. Then in Ephesians 6, we have St. Paul say, finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, the powers, and the world rulers of this present darkness, the evil spirits. All right. Now, if we focus only on the power of the evil one and all of the horrible things that he causes in the world, we'd just give up. We would. But that's not what we're supposed to pay attention to. Well, we need to know it. Okay, we need to know that he exists, the evil one exists, to understand how he works, and then to take action. So Jesus has already won the victory over evil, but many of us don't realize it, and we are part of his army that will keep it in check and will push him back, the evil one back. We do not have to be afraid. We do not have to be overcome by evil. Our armor given to us by God is powerful because it's backed by God himself. All right. And Jesus says in John 16, I have told you these warnings so that you might have peace in me. In the world, you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world with this beauty and light and love and mercy and compassion. Yeah, and peace. And then in John 14, he says, he promised peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. If we do not have peace, as he had promised, there are reasons for it. But the evil one and his demons are responsible for a great deal of our and the world's lack of peace. And part of that is because most of us don't realize that we have the ability, as baptized Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit, living in grace, to be powerful, powerful instruments for peace in this world. Anyway, so we are to get to know his tactics and who he is, but we are to focus on the victorious Jesus Christ and what he has given us, to not succumb to that. Right? The devil is a powerful angel, but he's nowhere near as powerful as God. He is not another entity of another God. He is a fallen angel who was cast out by God from heaven. He only has so much power. And you have the power of Jesus Christ living in you if you're living a true Christian life. Okay? So, let's see, what else do I have here? Okay. I'd like to reemphasize Ephesians 6, where it says, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. Okay. I want to back up to Dan Brown. That was a weird thing. Dan Burke's book that we're starting to use. I want to share with you a little bit of his story and why he wrote the book, because it really can resonate with a lot of us, okay, one way or another. And I want to share that with you. In the first session of the book, the very first chapter, basically, well, the introduction, Dan describes his childhood, filled with sickness, abusive and insensitive parents, family histories of fears and violence, etc., that affected him until he began healing as a result of encountering and believing in Jesus Christ. He became aware of evil spiritual influencers who had affected him all his life. His parents and family did not practice their faith. His mother had dabbled in New Age practices that unknowingly allowed evil forces to come into their home and family life. So it's a very powerful book. What I'd like to do is read to you. I'll read quickly that first introduction, because it's key to understanding why he wrote the book and what it deals with in the darkness. So it says, I emerged, this is from Dan Burke's book, Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits. This is him. I emerged out of the darkness of my youth through coming to know Jesus, the Messiah. In coming to faith, I also came to experience hope for the first time in my life. However, coming to know peace was elusive and a much longer process. As a young man, I recall struggling with Jesus' assurances about the peace he gives and the many other promises in the New Testament about peace. I just couldn't figure out how to lay hold of that peace or how to experience it. My childhood was a constant emotional tornado, some of my siblings didn't make it out alive. Most of those who did survive have been in and out of drug rehab, attempted suicide, and live generally destructive patterns of life. Here are a few scenes out of my youth to give you just a taste of what I lived through and why anxiety was so easy to come by and peace so hard to find. And Dan goes on. He gives you scene number one as an example of what he was living with. Screaming, rage, another full volume and frightening argument, and then boom, dead silence, a gunshot. I was only 9, but I knew what it was. My 2 younger brothers and I huddled at the bottom of the stairs, frozen with terror in the eternal silence. Was my mother dead? Would he kill us next? I couldn't move or run or think. It seemed like an eternity before we discovered what had happened, although we never really learned the full story. And then in scene 2, another instance, I was terrified at the twisted thing I'd seen calling me. It made no sense. I was home alone, dizzy with fear. It was tormenting me. I had no idea what to do. I was so overcome and irrational that in my childish fear, I sought to burrow my head into the corner of our couch between the cushions as if trying to escape to where I couldn't be found. Wailing, crying, hysterical. My mother returned home to find me in the delirium. She hit me and yelled at me. No comfort. No attempt to understand why her child was beyond consolation. She brought the demons in through her involvement in the occult. Her response to the wounds and terror she caused was to strike again at her child, at me, as if I was an uncaused annoyance. The confusion was beyond anything a small child could fathom or process. The damage was almost irreversible. Almost. These 2 scenes from my youth, not necessarily the worst and most painful ones, were just 2 in a string of seemingly endless torments until I left home. But the torments didn't stop. Those who have lived through abuse know that it stays with you. The tortured twisting and turning of mind and heart constantly, replaying the scenes and the hurt. Dan goes on to say, some of you can imagine the trauma. For some, much less dramatic suffering has still yielded a deeply wounded heart and mind. It doesn't matter what we have wrestled through or how severe. We could have even grown up in a happy and loving Christian home, but still struggle with anxiety. My only point in sharing these details is to give you hope. If I can find peace, it is within the reach of anyone who draws near to God and seeks the eternal remedy that only He can provide. There is hope. You can and will find peace if you seek the peace that He brought and bought and paid for by His own torment and sacrifice on your behalf. Okay, that's the introduction to the book. So, I wanted to share that with you so you can understand how powerful God is to heal these wounds, how the evil one can be defeated, and all of that anxiety and fear and violence can be transformed into something really beautiful. He can take all that pain and turn it into something really beautiful. He did it for Dan. He's done it for me. He's done it for many, many people, most people who have given themselves to Him. So I wanted to share that with you. And I'm going to go down here. I'm sorry. Okay, some info about the evil one and demons that you may not be aware of. Okay, do not get depressed by this. Use it as powerful knowledge. Because as we go through this, we're going to be doing this together. I'm going to take what we're doing in our group, and I'm going to bring it here, and I'm going to share it here with you so that you can put on the armor. You can look in yourself and find where the evil one can eat at you and torment you. It's not sometimes it's you yourself, but a lot of times it's the evil one. And you'll discover that as time goes by. But anyway, some information about the evil one and demons. They cannot read your mind. They can suggest things to your mind, but they cannot read it. They are not that godlike. They're not that powerful. They have no idea what you're thinking, but they sure as heck can get in there, and they can see what, well, they know you well because they've been observing you your whole life. They know your weaknesses, your strengths, your sins, your glories, your loves and dislikes, your wounds, spiritual and emotional, your wounds. And they use that knowledge. They watch you. For instance, they see that a friend that you love has annoyed you for the 100th time. And so they see that. They watch your facial expressions. They see what happened. And they plant little thoughts in your mind like, she's always like that. She's never going to change. I just can't stand that anymore. I'm going to leave her. I don't want her to be my friend anymore. You know, and that they'll put those little thoughts in your mind, and you will, we all will entertain those thoughts when we're in that kind of angry, aggravated mood. Multiple things. But the point is that they watch you. They know what'll get you. They know how to hook you. And once we get to know what those things are, we can say, aha, he wants to destroy my relationships. And yes, it's aggravating, but I'm not giving in to that. I'm going to find ways to try to repair that. Okay? Then what it is the evil one and the demons are not to be taken lightly. Don't take them lightly. Don't be afraid. But don't take them lightly, because without the Lord, we are very vulnerable to his desires to steal, kill, and destroy, as Jesus said about him. Which leads to hatred, division, distrust, unbelief in God. You know, so without the Lord and his power living in us, we are very, very vulnerable to his ability, to the evil one's ability to steal, kill, and destroy us. And so we have to be careful about that. I'm going to read to you Father Hardin, a Jesuit priest who wrote a book called Spiritual Life in the Modern World. It's a famous book. And in it, he talks about the strategy of Satan, and I want to read that to you. Father Hardin says this: in a conversation I had some time ago with the chief exorcist of Rome, Father Amorth, I asked him about the influence of the evil spirit in the modern world. It seems to me, I said, that Satan is extraordinarily powerful in the world today. God is permitting the devil to tempt and seduce people more than ever nowadays. He replied, this is the chief exorcist of Rome replying, he says this: that is not the way I see it. I do not think the devil is any more powerful than he used to be. But people are allowing him more influence in their lives. In my judgment, he concluded, the widespread preoccupation with worldly things, pleasures of every kind that modern science makes so easily available to everyone, this immersion in worldliness is at the root of the trouble. It gives the devil so much power over people because they are so forgetful of God. See, we're busy, we're preoccupied, we have our minds on everything except God. So that, you know, without that grace of being in a deeper relationship with God and following his ways, the evil one has more opportunities. We are giving it to him. You know, that's what the exorcist, Father Amorth, is saying. I think the lesson is plain. It says, if the devil is so effective in misleading souls, it's because people are too distracted with the pleasures of this life to even realize they are being misled. It's true. It's true. So that's why I wanted to do this, because I know from my own experience, some of you know that for the last, ever since 2020, 2021, I've been at a number of retreats. I've read a number of books. I've met a number of people who are exorcist priests or work with exorcist priests. And I have assisted to a degree on a couple of challenging things. And so I know it's real. I see that the evil one is working. I also see that the Lord is pouring out grace upon the world so that we can become aware of this and be lights in the world to bring that force, his force, into the world in a more dramatic way to stem the tide of the evil that has been given permission to work by our busyness and unbelief. So anyway, the four main weapons of the evil one are, number one, telling lies. He's the father of lies, Jesus called him. The father of lies. Look at our press and political situations. There's lies everywhere. Everywhere. And if you think it's only on one side, you have been fooled. And two, cloaking his lies with partial truths. Read his encounter with Eve in the Garden of Eden. Read the whole thing. Read what God told them to do and not to do. And then read how the evil one twists it and cloaks it in his lies in deceit and some good. Read it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Three, tempting us with desires that naturally appeal to us as human beings, but are not necessarily good for us, you know, or they might be good for us, but let's get out of control with it, right? Number four, giving us attractive excuses for continuing in our sins. He makes excuses. It's funny, there. I read something one time and it said, you know, when he's trying to entice you, tempt you, he'll tell you, oh, hey, it'll be okay. It's just this little thing. You'll be happy. It'll give you pleasure. Just go ahead and do it. You know, what's the harm? But once you've done it, he's the accuser. Look what you did. You know, you should feel really guilty about that, you know. So you have to be careful. To me, one of the biggest things that he does to give us excuses is to say, it's not my fault. It's my husband's fault, or my wife's fault, or my friend's fault, or my father's fault, or whatever. It's not my fault that I did that. It was caused by somebody else, right? Not taking responsibility. He does that. So anyway, what he does, he gives us inspirations that lead to doubts in God and in others, assuming the worst, all that sort of thing. And then he drives us to despair, which is deep sadness and hopelessness. You know, he plays on the things that can really hurt us. Okay. And can leave us hopeless. And then narcissism, which is basically an obsession with ourselves as opposed to the care and concern for others as well as ourselves. And so I share this with you because he loves to draw doubts in our minds about everything, to assume the worst. And then in despair, he drives us to despair by making us feel guilty, or there's no hope, it's the end of the world, that sort of thing. And then narcissism, thinking only of ourselves, right? But God, our Father, The inspirations from him lead to deeper faith, hope beyond all telling, and love, his type of love, leads to generosity and of abundance in life, and order and unity and supreme love. And in the James, the letter of St. James, it says, so submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. So I want to share with you a couple of scriptures from the very first session in the book. John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Okay? Peace I leave with you. He has promised, and he will do it. But we ought to learn how to get rid of that ugly stuff. And then in Luke 4, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's what he does for us. That's what he does for us. I'm going to have to go in a minute. But next week, we'll come back and we'll do session 2. And it's even more powerful. That was just an introduction. So I'm going to close with a prayer that Mother Teresa would always, her sisters, and she always say before they go out to work. And it applies, it's a great prayer no matter what. Dear Lord, the great healer, I kneel before you. Since every perfect gift must come from you, I pray give skill to my hands, clear vision to my mind, kindness and meekness to my heart. Give me singleness of purpose, strength to lift up a part of the burden of my suffering fellow man, and a true realization of the privilege that is mine. Take from my heart all the guile and worldliness, all the guile and worldliness, so that with the simple faith of a child, I may rely on you. Amen. I'll talk to you next week. God bless you very much. And please come back and let's continue this exploration into how to defeat the evil one and to live a life in Christ's peace. Amen. God bless you.